Hello. Happy Election Day. Rashini Rajkumar here. I am in for Chad Hartman. Today, he will join you this evening during our nighttime Election Day coverage. It is Election Day, one of my favorite days ever. I get very giddy on Election Day. I get very, I guess, really nostalgic about our Constitution and what it means to be an American. What it means to have the rights and privileges we have in this country. And I'm guessing a lot of you feel that way as you wear your I voted sticker. I went out there this morning. We'll get into that. I want to hear from you, though. Text me 81807 about your voting experience today, or if you have any questions we maybe can answer for you as you're heading out to the polls. As you've heard in our reporting, record numbers of people are showing up at the polls as well as have already pre-voted. They voted early, either in person or by absentee. So it's very exciting. It is just an interesting feeling. And I know that my colleagues here in studio today, Lindsay, our producer, and Dan Cook on studio control, have already voted themselves. Dan, you're looking very smart today in your bow tie, your American flag bow tie.
Yeah, I thought it was appropriate.
It is appropriate. Yeah. How was your voting experience this morning?
Couldn't have gone any smoother.
Really?
Yeah, I was voter number 274 at St. Louis Park City Hall, and I was in and out in less than 5 minutes.
Did you have lines or anything like that?
No, I literally walked right in. I mean, there were people there, but I waited 30 seconds to get up to somebody to check me in and went through that process, went and voted. Like I said, I was out the door in 5 minutes.
And do you get the sense when you go to those voting places, those polling places, that, boy, you know, other Americans are volunteering out there and they keep things pretty smoothly running?
You know, I can't speak for other states because I've only ever voted in Minnesota, but I know that every time I voted in Minnesota, it's been a fairly smooth process.
Yeah.
And you know the amount of work that goes into that, both from, you know, the Secretary of State's office all the way down to the folks that are volunteering and being right there. And you know, like I said, it's always been a good experience for me. And so I'm very, very grateful for the folks that are there working.
Yes, they are volunteering their time. It is excellent. And Lindsay Guntzel, you had kind of a first today with you as you went to vote.
I did. I probably have the cutest polling place in the state of Minnesota. I live over in Plymouth on the west side of Medicine Lake. And there is the cutest West Medicine Lake Community Center where you go and vote. It looks like right out of the 70s, as you would imagine, an old VFW. And they have line dancing during the week. But I actually took my dog to vote with me. My four-year-old, well, she's my boyfriend's, but, you know, I lay claim because I do half the work. She is a four-year-old German Shepherd mix of some kind. And I have to tell you, you know, we've talked for the last 6 months about how divisive this election has been.
Right.
So I get in line, and it's a short line. There's about five people in front of me, and everyone's kind of quiet and keeping to themselves until they notice that I have this ridiculously adorable dog with me. And then everyone opens up and are talking about their dogs and funny stories. And it was, you know, it just goes to show you the little things in life. You know, at the end of the day, we're all Americans. We're all neighbors. We're all friends. We're all coworkers. We're strangers meeting in the coffee shop or in line at the polling place.
And maybe more alike than we are different.
Absolutely. And so it was very sweet. And she had a good time and we voted. And then we enjoyed this absolutely beautiful day on our walk back.
That is so great. And you tweeted a picture of that adorable dog. And it's okay. You can call it your dog.
I'll throw her up on Facebook.
Yes. Put her up on Facebook. She's so cute. She looked very patriotic. You got a great shot of her by the sign. I have to share that I was out and waited in line. There were probably, so I voted at the Bakken over by Lake Calhoun. And there are two entrances to the Bakken, as I learned, as I was looking around standing in line. We were in line with maybe about 60 people, 50 to 60 ahead of us, and then the line was growing behind us. We got in line a few minutes before 7, before the poll opened, and there was another line around the building through that entrance. And it was kind of an exciting day. It was so gorgeous outside, so that was a great reason to be out there. It's also the first election I'm voting as a married woman. I don't know if, you know, that went into anything I did in the polling place today, Lindsay.
Was it kind of fun going with your husband?
It was so fun. He dropped me off and parked so that he got in line with me. And it's his first time voting in that location.
Oh.
Because we're currently living at the condo that I was living at. So he had to actually register today. And did you know Minnesota is one of the few states that has same-day registration?
Which baffles me. You'd think that we would want voting to be as easy as possible. I registered at my new location when I voted in the primary. So I just had to go in, Tell them my name, confirm my address. I had a photo ID with me if I needed it. But it was so smooth. But going back to the primary and registering, so I vote in this very small place. I think I was number 30 midway through the day on the primary. And so the woman, who's probably my mom's age, so, you know, my mom's, you know, in her early 40s, if she's listening, she was having a little difficulty using the iPad and getting me registered.
Oh.
And I just remember being like, okay, I could be really annoyed by the fact that it's taking me 10 minutes to get registered. Or I could look at this as a fact that she's learning how to do this today so that on election day, this goes super smoothly. And so walked in today. Got my ballot, was in and out within 5 minutes.
Yeah, no, that's great. That is great. Rashini Rajkumar in for Chad Hartman today. Would love to hear from you. Text me 81807. Have you voted? I'd love to know. We have some texts coming in. One person asking, who should I vote for? Well, my friend, that is really your personal choice. It is your private choice. Think about what you've seen this whole election cycle. And there isn't only the presidential election on the ballot. We have other things. You may have your member of Congress on there. You have people from the Minnesota legislature. The entire legislature is up for election today. So you've got a lot to think about. Maybe some school board or city council or other things based on where you are. So definitely think about it, reflect, and go into that poll and do your American duty. Another person says, I know a lot of folks decided to stay home and not vote. That is just a bummer, my friend. I hate to hear that. I always say, if you don't vote, you just don't have the right to complain. That's really what it comes down to. And it really takes all of us out there. We are, as Lindsay so nicely put, we're all very similar, a lot more alike than we are different. So when we vote and participate in the process, we then can hold the people accountable for whom we have voted. Or if we didn't vote for them, we can have a little better place to stand and challenge them as they go about their activities moving forward representing us. So I definitely will not hide the fact that this is one of my pet topics. Voting is just such a special thing. And I hope you go out and vote if you haven't already. If you have, feel free to text me, 81807. I'd love to give you a shout out. Or if you want to give a shout out to someone, maybe you voted for the first time. Maybe you're 18 finally now, and this is your first presidential election. I remember that day. It's a special, special time. So congratulations to all of you who've already gotten your I voted sticker. And for those of you who are still getting ready to go out there, have fun. Have a really good time. We're going to take a quick break, and then we will be back. Rashini Rajkumar back with you. I am in for Chad Hartman today. Always welcome your texts and would love to hear how you're voting. You don't have to tell me exactly for whom, but where are you? Texts are coming in, and you can text me at 81807. One person says, I live in Ramsey, work in New Hope. I'll vote when I get done with work. We vote at one of our fire stations. Well, that's fabulous, and I just want to make sure you give yourself enough time, because it was a good thing that when I got to the polls this morning, it was right before 7, the polls were opening. I knew I'd get in. Our whole turnaround time there, from standing in the lines outside to standing in lines inside to actually getting the voting done, was about 30 minutes. So keep that in mind. There will be lines. Dan, yeah, are you
thinking the same thing?
It's one of the
beautiful things, you know, for the weird shifts that we work in radio. You know, I start here at noon, so... But yeah. I have that late morning spot.
That's
where
nice.
I think I went about 9:45. And like I said, I was in and out in 5 minutes.
Right. And, you know, this is the kind of day, too, if you can take a coffee break to go vote. And I know there are some employers who are giving employees the day off or letting them off early today to go vote. But, you know, just keep that clock in mind when you are getting out there. One person says, just voted in Eastern Plymouth, no line at all, even during the lunch hour. Much better than the hour-long line to early vote yesterday. And they say in all caps, go vote. Excellent. I love it.
Speaking of Plymouth, because that's my neck.
I know. I knew
well.
Your ears were ringing over there.
Well, no, it's funny that they mentioned the hour-long wait, because it was about 6 o'clock and I was heading home from the grocery store and they were putting up polls closed signs because the line was so far out the door that in order for them to get everyone in before the polls were actually going to close, they had to kind of put a cutoff.
And wow.
The polling place for early voting is, I think it's the City Hall, but it's right in kind of the heart of Plymouth. If Plymouth had a downtown, it's right over there off of 55 near the Lifetime. There were cars parked everywhere.
Right.
Every parking lot was full of people running across the road trying to get in line. And when I drove past, I did a little peek up and, yeah, there were just lines out the door.
You know, another place, Lindsay, where there were lines today is the Starbucks near me on that drive-thru. It was out the parking lot, practically onto Highway 7. So that is that what that said to me. Yes, I know it was morning, but it said to me people were getting their coffee or tea or whatever, and then they knew they were going to go vote and wanted that with them.
The last week, we've been really kind of talking a lot about this early voting, and I get it. It for people who have things going on, it was very convenient. There's just something to me about going on the day.
Exactly, and Dan is nodding too. Absolutely. I am such a geek about voting. You kind of feel like, when can you feel like you're doing the same thing as millions of fellow Americans?
As insane as this election cycle has been, and I don't remember one ever being this crazy. They're all crazy to some degree or another.
Right, but this really takes the cake.
The charts. But there is no day to me in an election cycle more peaceful, more calm, more measured, more reassuring than election day itself. Going
yes.
to the polling place, everybody's kind of just
that.
Doing their thing. Nobody's freaking out. It's just, you know, it's cool.
Going back to 2012, you know, I was born and raised here in Minnesota. I'm from New Prague, which is about an hour south of the Twin Cities. And in 2012 was the marriage amendment. And I was very much against it. I wanted to vote no, and my parents were in the same boat. And so I had actually gone down to New Prague and spent the night, and we went and voted as a family. Now, I'm a grown adult. I live on my own. I had no reason to have to go home and vote with my parents. But it was actually very cool getting to register at my polling place in New Prague, which is where I had registered back in college, so 2008 to 2012, because I got to register with my high school social studies teacher.
Aww.
Mrs. Seiler was the one I walked up, and it was just kind of all of those
kind
things
of poetic.
Coming together. Exactly.
Right.
You know, voting in my small town, voting for something I was very passionate about, a woman who taught me about, you know, civics and politics, and just to walk through that, it was very cool.
Yeah, no, very neat. Lots of fun text coming in. I love this one. Just voted at Precinct 8 Maple Grove. No wait, and they had cookies. I love that. One person says, I am voting after I get off work, 4 o'clock in Coon Rapids, hoping for a short wait. That said, I hope we have a great turnout for voting. Agreed. This listener voted Saturday at Egan City Hall. It took 50 minutes. So you did have a bit of a wait there, but, you know, bravo for hanging through that and getting your vote in. Another listener voting at Sibley Township Hall, Sibley County, a 125-year-old one-room schoolhouse. Oh, Lindsay, that sounds so adorable.
I love it.
Yeah, it sounds great. This person says just voted in a community center in Buffalo Center, Iowa. Short line. Well, thank you. Thank you, Iowa, for listening today.
Shows how far the 830 stretch goes.
Yes, we stretch. And Lindsay, this is for you. New Prague just left the voting place in New Prague.
There we go.
All right.
Like maybe
Kudos.
Saw my parents in line.
Shout out to New Prague. Another person said voted today in Egan, took 10 minutes. See, 10 minutes. That's it. Maybe less, maybe a little more for our rights, for our privileges, for all the things we enjoy as Americans. And again, what Dan said about how peaceful it is today, I almost feel like it's a holiday on Election Day. I get even more excited about Election Day than probably my own birthday or other holidays that we celebrate, because it just brings so many things together.
I've worked in news for a while now, mostly on sports. I know most people probably don't consider sports news, but it's in a sense a part of the newsroom. And so having come to WCCO last November, I was very excited. This is my first election day actually being in a newsroom. And so to get to be here tonight and see all the results coming in and the commentary and to really be a part of that process, I'm a huge nerd when it comes to politics, but I like, for instance, the newsroom. Aaron Sorkin's The Newsroom from HBO
yeah,
is one of my favorite
that
shows.
Show. I was so
and
sad
they do
to see
a,
it go.
Exactly, but they did a huge plot on the 2012 election. And so the behind-the-scenes stuff for me is the really cool part.
Yeah. We've got some people writing in who seem to be sharing for whom they voted. One person says, blow a trumpet, I voted. Capitalizing the Trump part of that word. Another person, and I think this is a nonviolent thing, this person says, my wife's Facebook post today in regards to voting reads, normally I discourage my girls from breaking things, but today we loaded up walked to the park and swung our that big sheet of glass.
I love that.
Shatter the ceiling.
Regardless of who you're voting for, whenever I see parents involving their children in a positive way about the election process, I don't mean pushing their views on them, but involving them in what this means for this country and what it means for each person individually, awesome.
Yeah, very awesome. One last text here before we have to go to break. One person says, just voted in Lino Lakes at St. Joe's Catholic Church. There was no wait at all. I was in and out within 3 minutes. Well, congratulations to you. Thank you to everyone who has shared their voting experience with us today. And you can keep those texts coming, 81807. We'll get to them as we go through the show today. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Adam Dintz joins me. He's author of Hopeful to Hired, some great advice for young people and their families in getting those first jobs.
Run to Old Navy this Friday to get sweaters for just $10 for adults, $8 for kids and baby. Better hurry, this incredible sweater deal is just one day only, this Friday at Old Navy. Valid 11-11, select styles and in stores only.
This weekend at Kohl's, friends and family take an extra 20% off. It's time to get ready for the holidays. So deck the halls with 50% off holiday decor. Dress to impress for the school concert with kids' sweaters just $11.99. And keep them warm from head to toe with juniors' boots for $49.99. At Kohl's, friends and family save a little more with an extra 20% off. So you can give a little more this holiday. Kohl's. Select styles offer valid 11/18 through 11/20. Some exclusions apply. See store or kohls.com for details.
Listen to CBS Sports Radio every weekend for nonstop sports updates and breaking news, including analysis of the hottest topics in sports.
CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio.
Listen live every weekend on air or online at CBSSportsRadio.com.
Rashini Rajkumar with you. I'm in for Chad today. Hope you are having a great election day. It is just a gorgeous day in CCO land, and we welcome everyone who's listening today. I got a text here. This person says, listening from Bullhead City, Arizona. Today we are voting for State Senator John McCain's seat, as well as the legalization of marijuana. Wow. Well, thank you for listening from Arizona. We appreciate that. And thank you for voting. It sounds like you are going to do your civic duty. Well, essentially what we are doing today is we are deciding who we want to hire, both for president, for various seats, congressional district seats, for city council, perhaps county commissioner, depending on where you are, all of those things. And every seat in the Minnesota legislature, we are deciding as a people, who do we want to hire? Not unlike what my next guest deals with all the time, and that is advising people, young people, on how to get that first job. He is Adam Dintz. He's the author of Hopeful to Hired. Hi, Adam.
Hi, great to be here.
It is great to have you here. And it's exciting to have a new book, isn't it?
Yes, it's my first book, so and it may well be my last. I didn't set out as an author, so it's very exciting. This is all surreal to me, so thank you for having me.
Well, we hope that we can get some new eyes and ears on your book. But first of all, tell us kind of the gist of Hopeful to Hired.
Sure. So, you know, I wrote Hopeful to Hired. It was really a passion project for me. You know, I've had the opportunity over the past 4 or 5 years to mentor a lot of college students. And I've seen a big gap in between, you know, when students graduate from college and they start looking for that first job when they're done with school. And there really is a big skills gap. And, you know, college prepares, you know, students with the hard skills, with the knowledge they need to have to be functional in their jobs. But oftentimes, you know, the networking, the soft skills, you know, online presence that a student needs to really be noticed by a hiring manager is missing. And so I've been fortunate enough to mentor some students along the way and help them get better at that and be very successful. And this book really is my way of sort of scaling that out, because I can't mentor everybody. And so this is my way of saying, here's what I would tell somebody if I was working with them step by step, and here's how to do it well. And that's really Hopeful to Hired.
I'm talking to Adam Dintz. He is the author of his first book, the new book, Hopeful to Hired. If you have any questions for him, give us a text, 81807. You can also call 651-989-9226. Are you a parent out there who really needs some help helping your young person? You know, let's talk about that a little bit, Adam, because what I say to friends and relatives who have young who have children who are in that age bracket, you know, maybe in college somewhere, they know where they're going to need to get a job, or their senior year, they're looking for past college life. I say, don't do it for them. They've got to do it themselves. Yet only 12% of soon-to-be graduates have a job lined up. Only 20% of students feel prepared to join the workforce. So what gives here?
Yeah, you know, if you think about the mindset of somebody who's in school, you know, they see graduation as their final stop. That's where they're trying to get to that point of graduation. And they're not thinking past that. And so there really is a paradigm shift that needs to happen where students start thinking about these things earlier on in their career. And the parents can't do that for the students. What the parents can do is start to help students change that paradigm from being hopeful to hired, and really kind of, you know, one of the audiences for this book is the parents. And we want parents to say, hey, you know, when you graduate from college, there's no guarantee you're going to have a job, and the competition out there is fierce. Are you doing these things while you're in school? Are you networking? Are you taking time during the week to go to some industry events and get to know people who could be potentially your hiring manager? Are you reaching out to them on LinkedIn? Are you reaching out to people who might be able to help you learn more about the type of career that you want when you're done with school, right? And so there are a lot of things that students can do. The parents can't do it for them, but they can help sort of mentor their student through this process.
So, Adam, let's just break it down a little bit. Let's look at the different time parameters, okay? So you've got a bunch of students, a bunch of high school grads who many started either a two-year program, a four-year program, or maybe a technical school this fall. Here we are. It's Election Day 2016, so they've been in their programs anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks. Should they, in this first year out from high school, already be thinking about 2 to 4 years down the line when they need that full-time paying job with benefits?
I think it depends on the student. You know, if the student knows what they want to do with their career, I think it's never too early to start. And the sooner they start, the bigger their network can be, right? And the more time they have to polish those soft skills and build that online presence. Because as you know, you don't just put a website up or optimize your social media profiles and tomorrow you're findable, right? So the sooner that you can start doing that, the better. So I always tell students, as soon as you kind of figure out what it is you want to do, you know, start preparing to get that first job now.
And maybe it's an internship, maybe it's job shadowing, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Or even the students who I've worked with in the past, they've attended conferences that I've spoken at, and they've come up to me afterwards and have asked really great questions and followed up with me and have said, hey, Adam, you mind getting together for a cup of coffee and let's talk about this? And those are students who I love working with, the really motivated students. And I've had the opportunity to hire some of them. I've had the opportunity to place some of them and get them connected with other folks, friends who are hiring. And so, but this is the kind of network and tactic that students need to really be thinking about when they're in school. Even if they're not doing it yet, they need to at least be thinking about it in their mind about, I need to get to this point, or I need to, you know, it's not enough just to focus on my schoolwork. I've got to focus on my career prep, even if it's just getting motivated to start doing it when I'm a sophomore or a junior.
Yeah. And, you know, not everybody right out of the gate is a success story.
Right.
And so we shouldn't measure ourselves only against other people. You yourself were a high school dropout.
Yes.
How did you turn it around?
You know, fortunately for me, and this is one of the reasons I wrote the book, I had mentors in my life who believed in me the entire way, whether it was during my time in the military, where that was a really foundational shift for me, where I had a drill instructor who really made me into a man. You know, he turned me from being this lost kid into somebody with a vision for his life. And, you know, and then moving into college and having professors and faculty members that cared about my future and cared about my success, that saw things in me that I didn't see in me. And, you know, that was so valuable. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be where I am today.
I love how you said that. They saw things in you that you didn't see in you.
That is correct.
But you were also open enough to listen to them.
You know, I think what got me to listen to them was the fact that I didn't believe them. You know, I had, you know, whether it be, hey, you should run for the president of this organization on campus, to, hey, would you think about taking this job on campus? Like, what, me? You know, I'm a high school dropout.
They kind of challenged you to rise to a bigger occasion.
Yes.
I'm talking with Adam Dintz. He's author of the new book, Hopeful to Hired. You can talk with him, too. Text us, 81807, or give us a ring, 651-989-9226. Dale is on the line from St. Paul. Hi, Dale.
How are you doing? Yeah, I like the idea of him seeking out as well. They sought him out, sometimes the mentors, which I think is very key. see people who have been there and done that and showing you, well, this is what you could do. And maybe you just didn't have anybody in the past to tell that. But in my case, my son's only a 10th grader. You know, they don't really think much further than one day to the next. And he's a good student and everything, but I'm just trying to put some thoughts in his mind about, now, how do you see yourself after graduation? Do you see yourself in a 4-year school, a 2-year school, military? And I'm trying to get him to think down the line and just planning ahead. It's just a thought process now, but it's just a start.
Sounds like a really good dad, Dale. What do you think, Adam?
Yeah, Dale, thank you. I think you sound like a fantastic dad, and you're lucky to have you there for him. And I think, you know, you're doing the right thing by planting those seeds in his mind. And I think that the more the people that your child speaks to, and the more information that he gets, the better he'll be. And you know, whether he goes the route of the military first, that's what I did. You know, after high school, I went to the military, and that was my foundation for doing well. A lot of other people kind of figure it out. You know, even when I started college out after I my enlistment was complete with the Navy, I spent my first year trying to figure out what it was I wanted to do. You know, I had some thoughts, psychology, business, you know, sociology, what is it that I was really passionate about. But I took a year just to take liberal arts courses and explore and take some intro to psychology, an intro to all these things that I thought I was interested in. And so I learned more about what I wanted to do by learning what I didn't want to do.
Yeah, it's some very good lessons. When I'm working with my clients, the no is almost more important than the yes. So you say those good, healthy no's that you're really, you just know, you've studied, and you can say no. It is, you just open your world to the big yeses. And it sounds like that's what you did, Adam.
Yeah, my whole family are psychiatrists, psychologists, doctors, you know, very successful white collar workers. And, you know, I always thought I was destined to be a therapist because that's what my family was. And so I went into college with the notion, oh, I'll just go into the family business. And the reality of it was, I mean, while it was interesting, it wasn't what I was passionate about. And, you know, I think having, if you're a parent and you have a student who's going through the same thing, just encouraging your student to explore and learn about themselves. You know, I think when a student's able to be themselves and pursue the things they love as opposed to what they think other people expect from them, there's just a huge amount of opportunity that comes available at that moment. So definitely keep, being there for your kid, and things will work out well.
Well, what I love that Dale said is he's already talking to his young person in 10th grade.
Yes.
So you're laying down just the conversation, starting the conversation, which is so important. But, you know, maybe as a parent, we can each also set some parameters. Okay, some advice from you would be helpful. What do we do at 10th grade? What do we do at 12th grade? What do we do freshman year college, sophomore year? You know what I mean? And do you lay some of that out for the students and their families in your book?
You know, in the book, it's really focused on students who are in school that are at that point where they should start preparing for that first job out of college. Not just the first job, but the job they want, right out of college. And before that, if you don't know what you want, and if you don't know what type of job you're interested in, it's kind of hard to start preparing, you know, with the advice given in the book. But in terms of shifting your mindset, and that's really the key in this book, is being able to stop being hopeful that when I graduate from college, I'll find a good job and be successful, into that mindset of, here's how I'm going to do it. And I think as a high school student, you know, when you're starting to take these tests, the PSATs and the SATs, and you're already thinking a step ahead to college, well, what better time to introduce the paradigm shift, or at least the way they should be thinking when they enter college, because they're already thinking about college. So, hey, when you get into school, don't just think about getting good grades and being top 10% of your class, but think about how you're going to start building these soft skills, this online presence.
Yeah, how you're communicating with the outside world.
Absolutely.
I want to get in, before we have to say goodbye, I want to get in this call from Frank in Inver Grove Heights. Hi, Frank.
Hi, how are you two doing?
Thanks for calling.
You bet. See, something that you said that made me call in was figuring out what you don't want to do. And my daughter, she's now out in Votech out in Denver to be a diesel mechanic, because she was thinking about going to college. And I said, you know what I really think you should do? I said, go learn a trade. Not enough kids are getting into the trade. They're hiring all the time for different trades. I said, go learn a trade, get in, you know, see if you like it. And if you like it enough, keep working in that trade. By that time, you'll have figured out what you really want to do in life. And maybe it is stay in the trade. I said, but by that time, you're going to be working in a good enough job to where you can afford college and actually pay for it as you're going to
college. And maybe not live off your parents. I mean, that's another piece,
exactly.
Adam.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, I think exploration is so important. I mean, and you never really grow out of that the older you get. I think we should always be exploring and trying new things. You know, we as humans, we're dynamic and we constantly change. And so, you know, being able to kind of experience lots of things will help. So I think you're absolutely right. You know, she may find that going to a technical school or a trade school and learning that kind of skill is fine. That's, she may fall in love with it and decide to stick with it for the rest of her career. But, you know, the principles that we talk about, whether you go to a trade school or you're going to a four-year college or a community college, are the same, right? Because whether if you're learning to be, you know, a computer programmer at a trade school, you still need to build that network and you still need, you know, all that stuff that goes with finding that job you want when you're done with school.
All right. Well, we have to say goodbye to Adam Dintz. He's been so helpful. I may have you back on my show sometime, Adam. Really great information. Good luck with your book launch, Hopeful to Hired, How to Score the Job You Want Straight Out of College. And on November 14th, Adam is having a book launch event. What site can people go to just get more of Adam?
Oh, well, they can visit hopefultohired.com and you can sign up and attend the book launch event and buy the book and connect with me.
Excellent. Sounds great. Well, thanks so much, Adam.
Thank you for having me.
Our Park Chrysler Jeep time is 12:50 when you're shopping for a new car. Check parkchryslerjeep.com first. Rashini Rajkumar back with you. I'm in for Chad Hartman here on Election Day. It's been quite a day, don't you think? You can text me at 1-807. I will continue to share where you are voting and just any color commentary you want to give me from your poll. One text that came in as our last guest was saying goodbye. I love it. Great discussion. And this was with Adam Dintz, who wrote Hopeful to Hire. Don't forget the importance of courtesy and manners. You know, that is so true. No matter what generation you are part of, there is nothing like getting a handwritten thank you note. Lindsay Gunsel, do you still write those things?
I do.
Yeah.
In fact, I have a pile of them sitting on my desk right now that I have a list of
and
ones
don't
I've got to get out by the end of the day.
Love getting them also?
No. But
you
I'm a weirdo.
Don't?
I've
like getting mail, Lindsay?
I've admitted on air before I don't like getting mail. In fact, I have many years of birthday cards that have never been opened.
All right, scrap that big package I was going to leave for Lindsay for producing today.
I get really uncomfortable. I want to be the giver. I want to show the affection. I get uncomfortable
but
when people
give it back. But I mean, it's a card. It's not a gift. No.
But there's going to be nice words in there, and I can't handle that.
All right, Dan Cook, save Lindsay. Do you like getting a handwritten note?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
I don't give as many of them as I probably should.
Right.
Mostly because my handwriting is just awful. And I always feel like...
But
you don't have to do
a little novella.
No, I mean, even the short handwritten note,
you get a little.
It looks like it was scrawled by a thing.
Sometimes when I write out handwritten notes, especially if it's something important like a wedding card or a card to a close friend or a family member, I type it all out first so it's all there like I would have written an email, and then I write it out because sometimes I get in the heat of the moment and it makes absolutely no sense. I have great
handwriting. And then you've wasted that card that you
exactly.
spent $4.99
yes.
on.
Yes.
So
all right.
We should partner up because I
there
can do the words and you can write them and be perfect.
These two, I mean, what are the chances, right, that these two have this attitude about
and maybe he can
notes.
Open my next round of birthday cards
yeah.
coming up in
for
March.
Just
sure.
don't send
we'll
them to Lindsay. Send them to Dan Cook, you know, in lieu of Lindsay. Well, we've got lots more show coming up for you. We are going to honor veterans in the 1 o'clock hour at 1:10. We'll talk to Julie Seelander. She is the director of One Stop Student Services and University Veterans Services at the U of M, an interesting program that they have to help veterans get educated post-service so that they can live fuller lives and get great jobs and all of that. And then at 1:35, Cynthia Gerdes, co-founder of Hell's Kitchen, has an interesting story when they said they publicized they're going to feed vets for free. Some pushback there. I can't wait to hear from her on what that is all about. And we are going to get into your texts, more texts. I got just so many in our first hour here. I want to make sure they are read on the air because it is so special that you are out there voting. So at 1:20, we will get back to our texts and your Election Day fun and hopefully not follies, but your adventures. So 81807 is our text line. And as you know, it is Timberwolves Tuesday. We will be giving away tickets later, so you are going to want to stick with us. Rashini Rajkumar in for Chad Hartman. We'll be back after the news.